As I say, lots to talk about, and there is more or less breaking news. As you all know, the Supreme Court now is dealing with the stay of execution that Justice Alito put into effect yesterday for Russell Bucklew, who was scheduled to be executed at 1 minute after midnight tonight. One of the things that interests me, and I know this is a procedure that is often followed, that there is an execution and the Supreme Court justice for the region gets in on it. But this is before the entire Supreme Court. Is this a little bit unusual?
Well, the particular justice who superintends this part of the country, and I think it's Justice Alito. Oftentimes we'll decide to refer an application for a stay, for a delay to the whole court. So it's not unusual.
It's not unusual. But he didn't give any reasons in issuing his stay.
No.
No.
Okay. Well, this could happen while we're on the air, so we'll stay tuned for that. But the other issue I wanted to get to concerns the suit filed by various news organizations, including a suit filed separately by Chris McDaniel of St. Louis Public Radio, in which journalists are seeking more transparency with regard to the execution process here in the state of Missouri. Who is up to speed on what this suit is all about and how it's unfolding?
Well, I think we have two lawsuits, one of which is Chris McDaniel, I believe, and Reporters Committee on Freedom of the Press and a number of other ACLU, I think, is also involved
on that one. Chris's, I believe.
Yeah. And so that's one suit, and that's particularly on the statutory claim that the state sunshine law should require the disclosure of the compounding pharmacy that provides the drug to execute the prisoner. Then I think there's another lawsuit that not only makes that statutory claim but also makes a constitutional First Amendment claim. I think the Guardian is involved in this other lawsuit, and so they're also claiming that, well, the First Amendment protects the openness of court proceedings. For example, they can't really close a judge can't close a trial. So making that same kind of argument, well, so the execution procedure should also be something that's open so that because there should be public accountability.
And my understanding is that it's based in part on historically the fact that the public had the right to attend executions either in person or via the media. This lawsuit, the constitutional lawsuit, says that this should be extended to disclose the names of these compound pharmacies. This will allow the public to decide whether or not they want to go forward with these executions.
And I guess the argument on the other side is there's a Missouri statute, the Black Hood Law, that limits, that says, and it's not may, it says shall not disclose the identities of the people involved with the execution. So I think the state's making, you know, saying our statute specifically says we can't give out those names. Now, the question is whether that applies to a corporation, whether it goes as far as who's producing the drugs, you know, or if it's just the physician and the guy in the little room.
The drug is the principal issue here.
Yeah.
And a lot of this has come about because of that so-called botched execution in Oklahoma, which it took the condemned man 43 minutes to die, as I believe. And that is an issue also with the Russell Bucklew case.
He has a physical condition that may make it more painful for him if he's administered this cocktail of drugs.
And this is presumably what the full Supreme Court is discussing, that part of this, because
that's what the Eighth Circuit considered, right.
That's right. Okay. Anything else to add about that as we await potentially some decision by the full court?
Well, one thing, in Georgia, the state Supreme Court recently upheld its law protecting the identity of pharmacies who produce these kinds of drugs. So this has been decided, at least at the state level.
And there are, you know, as you've indicated, there are other states that are involved in all of this. We've had the situation in Oklahoma. I wonder, and we don't know, but we can speculate because that's what we like to do. I wonder, with all the talk and everything that's going on with the death penalty here across the nation, are we perhaps on the precipice of a time when we'll do away with the death penalty?
I mean, the Supreme Court's cut back a lot on the death penalty in terms of minors, incapacitated people, So, I mean, I don't know that we're there yet, but they certainly are going in that direction, looking at a lot what other countries do. We're one of the few countries that still use it. So,
although you would never think we were, that was the trend in Missouri.
Right.
There have been, I think, 7 executions in about as many months, which is as many as there had been in the, maybe the previous decade or so. So this has sort of stepped up. We've got a governor and an attorney general and a state legislature, all of whom are very much in favor of the death penalty.
And of course, in Texas, it's become an art form
right.
almost in a sense. Well, we'll see. But there was such an outcry over the Oklahoma situation here. I think a lot of people are thinking about it and maybe in some cases rethinking.
So I'm interested what Bill thinks about this black hood, because we've disagreed on this in the past. I mean, do you think that protects the pharmacies?
No. And the law doesn't say that. The law just
says
the execution team. It doesn't say the pharmacy.
Well, why is they're part of the
why
team.
Why is the pharmacy part of the execution
because
team?
Because they're supplying the stuff that's going to kill them.
Actually, what the law says is that it protects people who provide direct support to the execution. So the question is the pharmaceutical company providing direct support? I mean, arguably,
direct
the law applies to people who are
chemical,
in the room.
Yeah.
Yeah, Barb took the care to actually look at what the words
no,
say.
Yeah,
it would be a statutory interpretation.
It says such as medical personnel who provide direct support. So I don't think that's all encompassing. I think that's an example. I think there's a good argument it could be broader. And if you think about the policy for the law, I mean, if we're going to agree with killing or not, that's what the state is doing, and the state. That's the law. And so they want to protect the people who are involved with this legal process because they're worried that there's going to be backlash against them personally.
Okay. Well, one other question.
I was trying to instigate Bill there, but it didn't work. Okay.
One other question that arises in my mind. You've got two suits here. They're essentially the same. Why aren't they put together as one suit?
Well, I'm not sure that the lawyers were talking to each other. I don't know. It's my understanding that one reason, for example, that the St. Louis Public Radio suit hadn't been already filed was that it was sort of hoped that the legislative session would end so that there wouldn't be the opportunity for the legislature, if there was a filing of a suit, to pass a law making it very clear that the compounding farm. So I think there's some sort of, strategy involved.
Nobody tells me anything, so I don't know.